Thank you, ladies, for that good message and song. You ever been to the Well of Grace?
Amen.
Amen. That's good. Open your Bibles with me to the Old Testament, to one of the harder books in the Old Testament, the book of Ezekiel. Somebody has requested that I teach it verse by verse, and I'm not sure I could get through with it before the millennial reign was over. And I decided I wouldn't do it yet. Might someday. But I would not have wanted to be Jeremiah or Ezekiel, because the Lord many times made them act out their message with objects and sometimes very painful times in their lives as human beings. And for instance, Ezekiel, one of the object lessons God caused Ezekiel to have to go through was Ezekiel was out that day doing his preaching, doing his ministering, and he come home, his wife had died. Yet God told him, you go out tomorrow the same way, you don't take time to mourn. Now, that'd be pretty tough, wouldn't it? Some things like that. In Ezekiel here, I want to talk to you this morning a little bit on the subject. This last week was, of course, the 4th, and a lot of folks was mixed up. I still heard fireworks going off Friday night when I was trying to go to bed, so some of them a little bit mixed up about when the date come, I think. But anyway, we had the week of the 4th. And I'm still thinking a little bit on a patriotic line, and I want to speak to you this morning on the subject double eagles. That is our, what we'd call our patriotic bird. If you look over here on the flag, you see the eagle on the top of it there, and rightfully so. Military symbols and so forth, and some of you in the Boy Scouts, you know if you worked hard enough, you might finally one day make Eagle Scout. Remember that, anybody? And even the Indian chiefs had eagle feathers in their war bonnets, amen? Spoke of pride and spoke of quality. Even our money, a lot of our money has the image of the eagle on it. I remember some time ago, I don't know if they still do it or not, but I remember one time where they advertised car tires as being double eagle. Anybody remember that? Now, what that really was a tire inside of a tire. I mean, I guess you had a second chance if you blew one out, something like that, or picked up a nail or something. And it was speaking of quality. And as you think about it a little bit, just a little here, give me some information. And I had a college student several years ago, Brother Lewis, that did quite a study on eagles, and it was something. I can't remember all of it, of course. But the eagle's a unique fowl, unique bird. He flies higher than any other. You know, a lot of birds, when it starts to rain, they find them a hole to get in if they can, or get in your garage or whatever. The eagle just rises above it and looks down at it. I mean, he can fly that high. Isn't that something? I mean, not only he fly the highest, he can see the furthest. I read there where it says that possibly a mile away, an eagle from 1,000 feet up can spot a rabbit. Isn't that something? Wouldn't you like to see like that? My girlfriend's sitting back there. Did anybody see her this morning? Got on the shade glasses. Looks like Elvis's girlfriend. Amen. Now, she... I'm joking a little bit. She done that so she could see better, and I'm a little worried about it, honestly. She may see more in the store she needed she didn't know about. Or worse than that, she may see the old man she's married to better. She's been seeing him. I don't know. But the eagle can see better and fly higher. And by the way, he lives to be the oldest. He lives the longest of all the birds. In fact, he can live up to 70 years old. Now, I've known some old buzzards that live longer than that, but they didn't have feathers, amen? But the Bible speaks about them quite a bit, and there's a verse that a lot of folks can quote, and rightfully so, Isaiah 40:31, they that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. In the scripture, they're used quite a bit. Now, I want you to go to Ezekiel 17, and we're going to find a couple of them here in Ezekiel 17. I'm going to read some verses. They're not going to mean a lot to you, even if you try to pay attention, but we're going to try to get into them because they're described here in this very first verse or two, second verse, as being a riddle and a parable. which mainly is telling us now you're not going to get it all right up front. You're going to have to think about it. You're going to have to meditate. You're going to have to decipher. You're going to have to realize there's a hidden message. The Lord is making an analogy here in Ezekiel 17. It says, and the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, Ezekiel now, put forth a riddle and speak a parable unto the house of Israel. So it's addressed to Israel here. And say, thus saith the Lord God, a great eagle with great wings, long-winged, full of feathers, which had divers colors, came unto Lebanon and took the highest branch of the cedar. He cropped off the top of his young twigs and carried it into the land of traffic. He set it in a city of merchants. He took also of the seed of the land and planted it in a fruitful field. He placed it by great waters and set it as a willow tree. And it grew and became a spreading vine of low stature, whose branches turned toward him, and the roots thereof were under him. So it became a vine and brought forth branches and shot forth sprigs. There was another great eagle, with great wings and many feathers. And behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him and shot forth her branches toward him, that he might water it by the furs of her plantation. It was planted in a good soil by great waters, that it might bring forth branches, and that it might bear fruit, that it might be a goodly vine. I'm going to stop there and ask you to drop all the way down to verse 22 in the same chapter. Verse 22. Thus saith the Lord God, I will take of the highest branch of the high cedar and will set it. I will crop off from the top of his young twigs a tender one and will plant it upon a high mountain and eminent. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it, and it shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a goodly cedar, and under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. In the shadow of the branches thereof shall they dwell, and all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree, have exalted the low tree, have dried up the green tree, and have made the dry free to flourish. I, the Lord, have spoken and have done it. Now, this is a hard text. I just said that. It's a riddle. It's a parable. For the sake of time, I could not read it all, but I want us to kind of see what each eagle is representing and kind of get a little bit of a picture. In the context, the first eagle is representing something that you and I would know as history, something that was historical but was happening at the time. You see, Ezekiel and Jeremiah were called of the Lord to warn Israel that God was bringing judgment upon them. He was bringing the judgment of Nebuchadnezzar. He was bringing the judgment of Babylon, and he was going to come down because of their sins. God had ordained that he was going to punish them, and so he was telling them here what he was going to do. He was symbolizing it here with the high tree there in Lebanon and the relationship to the eagle. The first eagle here, in a sense, would be Nebuchadnezzar moving in judgment as God had ordained. Now, you can pick that up if you want to look at it here in verse 12. Say now to the rebellious house, know ye not what these things mean? Tell them, behold, the king of Babylon is come to Jerusalem and hath taken the king thereof and the princes thereof and led them with him to Babylon. Now, you can go back in Jeremiah. I won't have time for it, but go back into Jeremiah and you get the story. How that God told the kings through Jeremiah that Babylon was coming, and the best thing for them to do was surrender to him and keep the covenant that God had arranged, that it would go lighter on Israel if they would go along, because God had ordained that judgment, but they didn't want to do it. And they rebelled, and you can read the story how Jeconiah and Zedekiah were taken by the king of Babylon, and were taken captive into Babylon. Now you have the whole book of Daniel telling you about the Hebrew boys and about Daniel and all of his friends being taken captive into Babylon. This judgment happened. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was going to take these kings, according to verse 12 here, and you get the details about it. But look at it in verse 14. You see the reason for it. Verse 14. That the kingdom might be based, that it might not lift itself up, but that by keeping of his covenant, it might stand. Now, again, God had ordained, as it were, a covenant with Babylon to come in. The Jews were told not to resist, to go into captivity. That's the best way it would fare. God had planned, in fact, he'd predicted it all way back in the book of Leviticus. You see, the Jews owed God 70 years. They were told to let the land lay vacant every seventh year. They didn't do it. They went 490 years without obeying God, keeping, as it were, that seventh year that was supposed to let the land lay vacant. I mean, it was sort of like a person that was supposed to be tithing, but they don't tithe and they don't think God notices. But the Jews found out God was keeping score. And after 490 years, they were taken away and they had to pay the rent all at one time. And you divide 7 into 490 and you get 70. They owed God 70 years and they spent that 70 years in captivity in Babylon. And so here God was telling them what to do, but they didn't do it, and they rebelled, and the kings were taken into captivity, and things got worse for them than if they had obeyed. And it finally caused their death. Pick it up here in verses 16 and 17. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely in the place where the king dwelleth, that made him king, whose oath he despised, whose covenant he brake, even with him in the midst of Babylon he shall die. Now here the king rebelled on Nebuchadnezzar that had set him up. He broke the covenant that God had ordained, and he ultimately wound up in Babylon, and he wound up dying. This is the picture that is given here that I'm talking to you about under the first eagle. Now, I want you to pick it up in verse 4 and look at something, because you see a little bit of a prophetic jump into the future. In verse 4, it says, he cropped off the top of his young twigs and carried it into the land of traffic. He set it in a city of merchants. Now, you that know your Bible, anything about it, you know in the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and chapter 18, you deal with Babylon, religious Babylon and commercial Babylon. And it becomes a city of merchants. It is a place of traffic. It is a place of merchandise. It is the end time conglomeration of the one world global thing that you and I are seeing built today. Today, we're fussing about our economy, and our economy also depends on the economy of Europe. And you look around and it's all tied together. And I hate to say it, but as taxpayers, we're probably going to be bailing out the whole world and paying the bills for everybody is the way it looks right now. But here's a prophetic jump a little bit ahead to the end time, to the time the Antichrist will set up his kingdom. And the Antichrist will seduce Israel, and that is what's going on today. And just like this covenant here, the Antichrist is going to have a covenant with the nation of Israel. And by the way, it'll also include America. You can't hardly separate America from Israel. Now we got a lot of liberal politicians trying to. But if you go back a little bit, you'll find out as we think about the War of Independence, you think about July the 4th, if you'll go back and look, even back in the revolutionary times, there were some Jews that helped pay the bills all the way back to the Revolutionary War. There are things that are involved. We were involved with the Jew in World War I and more so in World War II and them coming back to the homeland. You know the whole story about that. In 1948, it was our president, Harry Truman, that first recognized Israel when they came back as a nation. And rightfully so. By the way, that President Truman counseled with J. Frank Norris, who was a fundamental preacher in that day, that was not afraid to stand up and say what was right. And Harry Truman wrote him a letter and asked him what the Bible had to say, what was the best decision to make toward Israel. And J. Frank Norris wrote him back. Somewhere in my archives, I've got a copy of it. He wrote him back and said, you better stay with the Bible and recognize Israel. Amen. Anyway, as we look right here, we see a little bit of a prediction in verse 4 concerning the end time and the seduction of Israel and the covenant of riches and peace that the Antichrist will seduce Israel with. In America, tied to it to some degree. You see, we have chosen the eagle in America representing ourselves, and rightfully so. It's a fierce bird. You may have somebody have something on their arm and have a trained hawk, a bird of prey, but you don't see an eagle on it. You won't train him that way. America's spirit well represented by the eagle, fierce and free. I mean, that's a good picture of what we have been through our history. And rightfully so, and wonderfully so. But you know what's a shame? You and I now seeing like never before the great American eagle, as it were, chirping for canary seed. That's sad, isn't it? Holding out our hand to China for more. Isn't that a shame? You know what the problem is? The problem is in America today, we don't want to do the hard thing anymore. We want everybody to pay for what we want. I mean, we got the entitlement spirit today. Somebody else pay my bills, and we've gone crazy with it. We've got the taxes being taken up today to the point that, listen, not only pay for my surgery, but pay for my abortion. Pay for my contraceptives. Pay for my sex change. Hey, we've gone crazy. We're not the American eagle that we used to be. We're chirping around saying we want some crumbs from somebody. We don't want to soar high anymore. We don't want to be represented as what we were. And it's bringing our country down everywhere we look. And I want to say to you today, this tax and spend thing is killing us. And there is a growing animosity in America hating this tax business, and rightfully so. I mean, you ever hear the word lynch? Yeah. You know what? Now, some of you think I'm about to get into racism, but you need to understand something. The word lynch came from a British governor over South Carolina, the colony of South Carolina, before the Revolutionary War, just before it broke out. He sent a man by the name of Lynch into South Carolina to collect taxes for the crown, and the colonists lynched him. Amen. Check me out. That's where the word comes from. You know what it was? Some citizens was rising up saying, we're not going to pay the taxes no more. That's exactly what it was. And somebody help that young man if he's sick or if he just don't know no better than to get up and walk around. One of you fellas check with him. Look back at me now. The devil don't want you to hear what I got to say. Amen? That's twice he went out, by the way. Now, America needs to wake up. We got some hard decisions to make, folks. Whether we're going to be the old America that stood for something, where the eagle soared high, where he had respect around the world, where nobody messed with Uncle Sam. We've come down to the place now we're being treaded on, and we're being used, and we're being abused like you can't imagine. Now, in the truth here, it's sad to see 49% of the people in America are paying the bills for 51%. That's a stat. That's a stat. Somebody says, well, you know, the new care package. Well, I got news for you. It's going to spend more tax money on abortions than any time in our history. As you look around today, you're going to see there's more folks on the take than is making and paying. And that can't go on very long. We're about to probably have an election decided over alien votes. You know what I just said? All of a sudden, people that not even citizens of America are making our decisions in the highest level. I'm talking to you about the fact that it's terrible to see where the eagle has fallen from. It really is. You know, the problem is, though, is the old nature of man. You see, everybody wants somebody else's entitlement cut, not their own. Now, take it away from him, but don't touch mine. That's the attitude we all have. We have to watch out. It's because of the old nature. No wonder the 10th commandment says, thou shalt not covet. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but many of you have been in the business world and the sales world, and probably somewhere you were commanded to, or you thought you'd get wiser by doing it. You read the book by Dale Carnegie, How to Make Friends and Influence People. You know, how many of you know what I'm talking about? Some of you don't have any friends, but anyway. That's how you get them. You read his, you know, he was telling you how to get rich, basically, or how to be a success. You understand what I'm talking about. You know what he said? One of the quotes in that book was, he said, let us remember, we are not dealing with creatures of logic. He said, we are dealing with creatures of emotion, bristling with prejudices and motivated only by pride and vanity. Now, I could add one more word to that, greed. Greed would fit right in there. But all I'd like to say to Dale is, the Bible said it before you did. The Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. The Bible teaches that man is depraved and he grabs for all he can get in a selfish way. You see, the wonderful thing about early America is people were trying to break out from that and going by Bible principles and practicing character that came from the Word of God, and it built the greatest nation that this world's ever seen. Amen. It's often said that the pilgrims came to America for free enterprise. That's what they're teaching in the school books. That's not true. They came to America to worship God. It was the principles of God they were interested in. Yes, free enterprise is a result of that kind of character and that kind of principle. And that's why we have prospered. But we didn't prosper just because we wanted to start free enterprise. And I'm for that. And I'm for the capitalistic government because that's the biblical principle. If a man will not work, neither shall he eat. That's what the Bible says. And we're talking about somebody in health. We're talking about couch potatoes that could be out there working, but they might get hot in this Florida sun. We're talking about somebody that could fry hamburgers, but they're not going to work for minimum wage. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a crowd that's too good, they think, and somebody else owes me a living. No, they don't. No, they don't. I don't know about you, but there's something deep inside of me that wants to pay my own way. Something deep inside of me that wants to stand up and work for what I, and earn what I get, and not just have my hand out for somebody else to sweat and give it to me. Well, we are seeing the problem, and the problem is the nature of man. You know, elections and all the rest of it, truth is, we don't have any statesmen anymore, very few. See, a statesman is thinking about the big picture. What about the generation? What about the grandkids? What am I doing now that's going to be quality? I mean, that's what a statesman is. A statesman's concerned about the next generation. A politician is concerned about the next election. And that's exactly what we're seeing today. Anything to keep my job. Spin, lie, distort, corruption on every hand, but I can stay in office that way. It's an amazing time we've come to, folks. But I am only talking about one eagle here. This eagle was promising the judgment of Babylon, the judgment of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, a type of the Antichrist, but he comes in and he's used here as God's rod on Israel, and he takes the kings into captivity, and he takes the people away for 70 years. That's the first eagle, but I said double eagles. And as I look a little bit further in verse 7, I see another eagle. I'll call him the futuristic eagle. Verse 7. There was another great eagle with great wings and many feathers, and behold, this vine did bend her roots toward him and shot forth her branches toward him that he might water it by the furs of his plantation. You see, God in verse 8 here planted again. It was planted in good soil, it says in verse 8. He planted again. And in verse 22 through verse 24, if you go down to the end of the chapter with me, you find out what God is referring to. The futuristic eagle of verse 7 planted again in verse 8, and in verse 22, Thus saith the Lord God, I will also take of the highest branch of the high cedar and will set it. Now let's find out about the branch. If you were to flip over to your right, you're in the book of Ezekiel. If you were to go over to the book of Zechariah, you'd find the word branch in capital letters, all of it, two times in the book of Zechariah. I'll ask you to go to chapter 6. Chapter 6 of Zechariah. And just keep on going on over to your right there. If you get to Malachi, you went too far. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12. And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is, did you see it there in your King James, capital letters, the branch? Would I have to tell you who that's talking about? In the Bible, if you know much about it, you know the Lord Jesus Christ. Under many of his names, one of them is the branch. Amen. And here he is, the branch. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. You want to know who's going to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem? Here it is. The Lord is. Verse 13, and he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. He's going to take the throne in Jerusalem. He is the branch. He is represented here in the second eagle, in the double eagle that we're talking about, and God is going to bring him up upon the throne, and he is going to destroy the kingdom of the Antichrist, and God is going to institute the kingdom of his dear son.
Amen.
So you got a double eagle. You got what happened in history. You got what is yet fixing to happen and fixing to happen before long. Amen. In the prophecy given here. Verse 23, if you go back with me now to Ezekiel 17, verse 23. In the mountain of the height of Israel will I plant it. It shall bring forth boughs and bear fruit and be a goodly cedar, and under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. Now watch it. Under it shall dwell all fowl of every wing. Do you know anybody can be saved that'll come to Jesus?
Amen.
Every fowl.
Amen.
Every fowl of every wing, whosoever will may come, the scripture
Amen.
Says. Aren't you glad that's true?
Amen.
I mean, yes, I'm proud of the eloquence and the royalty that's depicted by the eagle, but I want to tell you, us old crows can come too.
Amen.
We sparrows that nobody noticed can come too. I mean, the world might not see us, and we might be sitting in what looks like the low tree and have nothing, but God says, I invite you to. Isn't that wonderful? We can come out of the hedges and highways, the scripture says, and come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the branch. He is the one. And every fowl can dwell under his wing. Now, that's what we got a picture of right here. The branch, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everyone can come, be under his wing. And look at it down in verse 24. And all the trees of the field shall know that I, the Lord, have brought down the high tree. Now, the trees here are picturing the nations. All the trees of the field. He was dealing with the tree of Lebanon. He was dealing with the tree here that represented Israel. He's dealing with the branch that represents the Lord Jesus Christ. He's dealing with the one that'll upset the Antichrist kingdom and bring in his own. And the good news is, all the world one day is going to know. Did you ever read Psalms 2 where God says that he's going to laugh at the nation? Those that imagine a vain thing. How the heathen rage, how he's going to laugh at them because he's going to set his king on Zion's hill. And you read a little word in the scripture called ensign. It means basically a flag or a sign. And God says he's going to post it on the mountains. He's going to post it in high places where the world, the trees, the nations recognize that Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. That time represented here by this second eagle. Now all the trees are going to know that the low tree has been exalted and the high and tall and proud tree has been brought down. That's the analogy that he's given here. See, today the word Jesus Christ is almost a byword. It's a joke on the late night shows. It's attacked everywhere you want to turn around. It's forbidden in the schools. It's the low tree today. But the time is coming
Amen.
When it's going to be the high tree.
Amen.
And when the tree of man's pride is going to be brought down, The wonderful news is it's not far off, folks. Not far off. I want to say this in kind of a wrap up here concerning the end time. These two eagles, Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, picturing and typing the Antichrist kingdom, and then the kingdom of God's dear son, these two are in contrast. That's the picture that's being given here. And you and I today and the world today are choosing between these two kingdoms. We're choosing basically between the Antichrist and God's Christ. That's what it amounts to. And you know what? There's some real hard, life-changing decisions that the world's having to make today. They're having to choose between these two kingdoms. I want to say to you that America's in a time right now making some hard decisions. I'm not just talking about an election coming. I'm talking about a whole attitude and philosophy that needs to be changed and reversed if this country is going to live on. That's what I'm talking to you about. Hard decision. I've used the analogy of the eagles here because God did. If you study much about the eagles, you find out something unusual about them. I said an eagle could live to be as much as 70 years old. But if he does live that old, he has a hard decision to make when he's about 40. That decision is this. At around 40, the old eagle's talons begin to cramp up. He can't grab the big prey anymore. At around age 40, his beak begins to twirl under where he can only handle the smallest little creatures. He can no longer do what he did. At around age 40, the feathers on his breast get so thick and out under his wings to where flying gets to be laborious for him. And at that particular time, he has a hard decision to make. If he wants to live, he has to do something that's very painful. Many of them don't. Many of them just sit and die. Somebody go back there and tell them to quit talking so loud. I must be going to say something today that the devil don't like, because I'm having more trouble, people getting up, coming in and out, and that shouldn't happen in the house of God. Just shouldn't happen. Come back with me now. The eagle has a hard decision to make. It's a life-changing decision. It's a decision that may give him a rebirth. And if he don't make it, he's going to die. He's going to die. Here's what the eagle does when he comes to that place. If he makes a decision to pay the price, he'll fly to a high mountain peak up there by himself. He'll get on the mountain peak and he'll take his beak and he'll strike it against the rock and strike it against the rock and strike it against the rock till finally knocks that beak out. It must hurt. But then, and it takes over 100 days for all this metamorphosis, this molting time to take place, a new beak will begin to grow. When that new beak has grown sufficient, he'll look on those talons, those nails on his claws that have curled up and they're no longer good. And he'll take that new beak and he'll pluck them out. He'll pluck them out. He'll pull them out. And new ones will grow. When they have grown, he'll take that new beak and those talons and he'll pluck his own feathers. All those heavy old age feathers that's grown on his chest and under his wings. And he'll pluck it down to where when you were to look at him, he'd be a horrible looking creature. But it's not long. They grow again. And it's not long before he flies off the mountain peak. And those that study the eagle say they call it the flight of the new birth. The flight of the rebirth. I want to say to you, he made a hard decision, and after doing that, he can live as much as 30 more years, which makes him a total of possibility of 70 years. I'm saying to you today, the American eagle needs to make a hard decision. We're sitting with our beak turned down and our talons and our claws and messed up, and we're loaded down with old age feathers, and we've got to make a decision to live or die as a country. I hope we'll make a decision to live. Will it be painful? Oh, yes, it'll cost. It'll cost some freebies. It'll cost some things we've taken for granted. But we could preserve maybe 30 more years for our grandkids, or a period of time, I don't know. But a hard decision's got to be made in this country. Are we going to wind up passing off the history just like other nations before us? But I also want to say, you personally have a hard decision to make. You can sit where you are and die in your sins and go to a devil's hell, or you can make a decision that may cost you something of this world's goods, may cost you some friends, may cause you some pain, may cause you to give up something you think you just can't do without. But when you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and get saved, get born again, get a new rebirth, if you please, you may need to make a hard decision because your eternal life depends on it. I wonder, have you made that decision? I fear, I'm going to be honest with you, I fear our country won't make that decision. I fear it'll not make the decision of the old eagle. I fear it won't. I hope it will, but I fear it won't. But I want to say to you, you can make that hard decision. And some of you, you've heard the gospel many times, and I'm talking to Radio Land as well as here in the building, and you've never come and received Christ because it's a hard decision. It's going to cost you some pain. You don't want that. You keep wanting a free ride through life. But if you got any sense at all, as you look in the mirror, as you feel, you recognize like the old eagle, you're using it up. It's just about gone. The truth is, you need a rebirth. No wonder Jesus said, a man must be born again. You must be born again. You get born again by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, doing the hard thing the world says, but it's the only way to live on eternally. I hope you know what I was trying to say this morning. Double eagle in the Bible, picturing what happened to Israel in the past, what's going to happen to them and to us in the future. We're going to choose between two kingdoms, kingdom of the Antichrist or the kingdom of Christ. When you walk down that aisle to receive Christ, you might not understand all that, but that's what's at stake. The difference in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and going along with this world system is the difference of eternal life. I pray you understand. Let's bow our heads.